The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Oh, Tommy, you know this is my favorite segment. You know that, right?
High five!
Out of the first day and a half, you got a favorite?
I got a favorite. Because you introduced it to me yesterday. You said, give me a high five. And I was like, what are you... Of course I'll give you a high five. You're my guy. But now I get to do a high five on air. Because it's our high five at 5:30. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Now, I went first yesterday. Is that the rule, or do you get to go first today?
No. This is the second day doing it, so it's a fluid situation.
Okay.
You want me to go first?
Sure.
All right. My high five goes to the NCAA in basketball, with Tad Boyles actually on the committee of this. They just changed the distance of the three-pointer from 20 foot 10 to 22
and a quarter,
right? 1 3/4, which is the international distance now.
Right.
And they also made, can you believe this was, they've approved technical fouls for, I assume disparaging opponents' race, ethnicity, that's a tough one, religion, gender, or sexual orientation. Like, that was okay before 2000. The 18-19 season was okay.
It was fine.
We were not going to call technical fouls, but now we are.
Now it's a technical.
I couldn't believe that. That was one of the changes.
Well, high five NCAA then.
Live, they can call timeouts within the last 2 minutes of the second half or overtime while the ball is being, like, if you're dribbling or you have possession of the ball, it's not like a dead ball. Now they can call timeouts within the game, which I think is pretty cool. Like, if the shot clock's running down and you're trying to tie the game up, whatever the situation is, you can call a timeout. Whereas before, it used to have to be a dead ball. So I think that's a good change.
Okay.
And now they can replay, they can review goaltending and basket interference. But I think the big rule is for basketball, not for life, but the big rule is the change of the distance of the three-pointer, because it just will discourage those lesser shooters from taking it. And it also opens up the court more. So it's gonna encourage more drives to the hoop and things like that. So it just kind of opens up the game more. I'm not sure why this has taken so long, but I think it's a good rule change. It's more in line with the international rules, and again, it will discourage bad shooters from taking threes.
It's a, high
like
five.
a foot and a half more or something like that.
Right. Don't make me do math, but that's a pretty big jump. The jump that they did previously, I think it was 2008, was only a foot.
It went from 19.9 to 2010, so a foot and an inch. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, good rule. It just opens up. It makes the college game that much better.
I'm going to high five it. I agree with you.
You don't
on
need
that.
To high five my high
Wait,
five. No, you don't have
Wait,
to.
Wait, I
that.
Can high five your high five.
You can.
You said the rules were fluid.
You're not obliged to, though.
Really? Well, I like your high five. I do. I really do. But I don't think it's going to discourage bad shooters. Bad shooters don't know they're bad shooters, right? They think they're good, and that's why they're jacking up threes all day.
Maybe this will just make them think twice.
And then they'll still throw up a bad three-pointer.
Yeah, but enough of that. We'll get them on the bench. Because they're less apt to make one of these bad shots. Whereas before, a foot and change in, you might make some of those.
I know that there's trends in basketball, and I love basketball. Like, love it. People think of me as a football guy, but people that have known me my whole life know that I love basketball.
Mitchie Richmond, yeah.
There you go. You want to talk some Chris Mullins? Some Detlef Schrempf? Like, what do you want to talk about? What
are we going? Supersonics?
Tim Hardaway?
Jack Sekulow?
Two-step, right? Okay. I don't like all the three-pointers. Honestly, I want some low post game. I want some dribble drive. Like, and I understand it's led to some better passing, some open threes. Like,
that was the conversation we got into with Lillard and CJ McCollum from the Blazers. I was like, man, I love CJ McCollum's game. Yes, he can shoot the three, but he has a mid range game,
right?
And he can go down the post, whereas Lillard is primarily a perimeter shooter. And the whole idea behind the three-pointer was sort of gimmicky when it was first introduced. They weren't even sure they was even going to do it, and nobody used it. Nobody would take a three. it was more to kind of, if you're trailing by a lot of points, but now it's become so, it's so big in the game and in Europe as well, that there's no going back from it.
I blame the analytics. That's what it was. It's percentages.
No, it's math. Yeah, it's math.
I hate
it's
math.
Three is more than two.
And I hate it. I hate math.
You can understand that one.
I can. Very simple, basic math. Well, is it my turn for a high five? And you can't high five my high five. If you're making that rule for me, then
no,
I can't.
No, I can't. I guess I don't. I'm not obliged to. I don't have to like your high five.
Really?
Yeah, that's a new rule.
I don't know if you're going to like this one, then. I'm going to high five Baltimore Ravens first-round pick Marquise Brown, who signed his rookie contract today. This is Hollywood, man. And you know, if you've watched any sort of Marquise Brown, and you've watched him with Kyler Murray out there making plays, like, this guy is a big play weapon. He's not Tavon Austin. I've heard people throw that out there.
This is size?
Yeah. This is a guy that can make a big-time difference. And if you're Lamar Jackson, who apparently can't complete passes in training camp, Marquise Brown out of camp now because of the Liz Frank surgery he had in February. He's going to be fine for actual training camp. But if you're Lamar Jackson, you make best friends with this guy because he can take a 5-yard pass, turn it into a 75-yard touchdown.
Wait, why is he getting a high five? Because he signed his contract?
Uh-huh.
High five!
Yes!
Wow.
That kind of
low
deal?
Bar. Low bar.
I got a low bar.
High five for getting millions of bucks.
Maybe he could kick some my way. I don't know.
Has Noah Fant
signed yet? I don't think that's a low bar.
Is he signed yet? Has Fant signed yet?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so, you know, everything's so slotted now that it's when guys sign, it's not a big deal anymore.
It's not a big deal?
Do you remember back in the day, though, when those first-round picks would hold out forever?
Uh-huh.
And it was like a domino effect because nobody else would sign until that first guy signed because everybody kind of wanted to kind of get close to whatever
right.
The staff.
I don't want my guy signing for less.
Bradford, those type guys, when they were getting crazy money, but there was all these holdouts. And especially with quarterbacks, I mean, you want to get as much time. Could you imagine Drew Locke holding out? I mean, how far back that would put you in today's NFL when there aren't 2 days anymore and you get 5 weeks off before training camp? I guess high five to the system now that is put in place to curtail the holdouts of the rookies.
High five to the rookie salary cap.
Has Bosa signed yet? I feel like that dude will hold out. I think
you feel like he's that type of guy?
Didn't his brother hold out? I think his brother, Joey did.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Has Nick Bosa signed yet? I don't think he has.
But high five to the new system for the rookies. 2011, the new CBA, which is now the old CBA, or about to be a little old CBA. It's great.
High five!
High five if they don't go on strike or whatever in 2021. I'm going to have to sell all my Jordans.
That would strike. It won't get that very. It won't get far. Not today's players. They want their money.
Demoris Smith is telling them save up and prepare for a work stoppage.
They're already talking right now. Goodell's already talking about getting rid of two preseason games to lay the groundwork for two regular season games so that the season can run right up into President's Day weekend where the Super Bowl will be held. That's coming. Has to. It's the one thing I agree with DMAC on. The one thing.
I kill you with truth. It sounds so funny hearing him talk normal.
I know. I haven't heard that voice. Like a frog. Man, he's smoking them darts and... This is a layoff, man.
Broncos mandatory minicamp day two. And the most important thing we learned today was, we'll tell you next.
Now back to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
I think a story for mandatory minicamp has to be the offensive line. Has to be those five working together as one for the second day in a row. I really don't think there's anything else that we can glean, to borrow a Marty Schottenheimer term, from these recent activities. You know, Todd Davis is back today, had a pick on Drew Locke. Defense won today, fine. Royce Freeman looks good, cool.
Chris Harris getting more comfortable.
Yes.
That's gone. We haven't mentioned him since he came to agreement with a contract amendment.
Is that because we just kind of expect it? Like, Chris Harris getting used to the defense isn't really news, is it?
It's a completely different style. So it was important before he, D-Mac, we're talking about why it was so important for this deal to get done before this mini camp, because I felt like going into training camp, you'd like to have Chris Harris acclimated to the new defense.
Up to speed.
And to his new coaches, and to get to know Ed Donatell. So there's been a lot of good things that have happened. Dalton Reisner has settled in at left guard.
Do you ever have to tell a rookie to calm down? Like Derek Wolfe talked about that.
It's amazing to me because Derek Wolfe was one of those go hard guys.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's telling Dalton Reisner to calm down a little bit, it says something about the aggressive nature that is Dalton Reisner.
I tweeted about it earlier today, and I said, it's just fun watching Dalton Reisner practice. He looks like he's having a blast on every rep, Deadpool-like maximum effort, and the kid looks like a second-round steal. Like, it's just, it's infectious watching the guy play because he's having fun.
It's hard to gauge funness out of offensive line, but it's hard to have fun because you're usually having the battle taken to you a lot of times. So you're always hoping for stalemates. But if he's out there having fun, you'd assume like Quentin Nelson is a left guard that looks like he's out there having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that means he's dominating. So if Dalton Reisner's, you're not having fun out there if you're getting your butt kicked every day, every play. So I think that's, you know, outside of the five guys playing together, the fact that Dalton Reisner has, since the draft, been plugged in at left guard and doesn't look to be changing anytime soon unless he heads out further left. But there's a lot of things that have happened throughout this. We got to get to know Vic Fangio and how he's running practices, and the fact that practices are going long because he's dissatisfied with some plays or one side of the ball or the other. So it kind of gives you an idea of what this team is going to look like in training camp and how they're going to practice.
I think there's a lot of teachable moments having seen this team practice since the Shanahan days. My first day out at the Broncos was back in 2004. So I've seen a lot of this team and different incarnations.
A lot of coaches, too.
Josh McDaniels and John Fox and Gary Kubiak and VJ, like a lot of different styles. It seems to me this is more Shanahan-esque, which when you do a rep, there's teaching that goes with it with every single rep. With McDaniels, it was just rep, and a bunch of yelling and cussing from little Joshie McD.
But no correction. No applying that cussing.
I didn't see as much as like a Shanahan.
Well, Shanahan, when you got here in 2004, he was already here for, was going into his 10th, 11th year.
Right.
So it was pretty automatic how practices were. There was no deviation. Everything was the same.
Does it surprise you that Fangio, as a first-time head coach, kind of has that feel already?
He's been around so many different styles of head coaches who he's worked for. He's probably figured out the best way to maximize the time in today's NFL with his practices. So he's learned through other coaches' failures and you know, victories that way. There's, you know, a lot of people worried about Vic Fangio, first-time coach at 60. Why is it taking so long? But right. You could say, well, you could be a glass full type person and say, well, he's been around so many coaches that he's going to implement all the successes of how those coaches went about it. Whereas VJ, I felt like, because he was so young, and McDaniels as well, and McDaniels is only around Bill Belichick. So Vic Fangio has seen many different styles. So he's imparting all of that into the Broncos right now. So it's almost, man, I'd almost prefer my coach to get his first shot. The trend now is to get the hot young coordinator.
Zach Taylor.
Yes.
Right? Do you know Sean McVay? You're hired.
Yeah, exactly. It's that tree that doesn't have any leaves on it yet. But as long as you're somehow right. Have that McVay stank on you, that you're through osmosis and become a genius.
They think of it more as a musk.
You don't want to miss
McVay musk. I bought a bottle of it at Macy's. No, not the skank. The stank, whatever.
But I'd prefer my head coach to be seasoned. Belichick failed miserably for the most part in Cleveland. And
Pete Carroll had failures with the Patriots.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost like you kind of, and he's at 60, he hasn't had the background of a head coach failing or succeeding, but he has learned through a lot of these guys. So it's almost like you're better off. That's why a lot of Belichick's assistants haven't done well. The Romeo Crennel as head coaches. Who's the guy with the Jets there?
Charlie Weiss was there.
The other guy. Another heavy set guy. Not Charlie Weiss, though. But it's just because they've only seen one style, been around one style. And it's that style has succeeded, so it gives you this warped sense of success in the NFL. But Vic has been around forever and has seen failure and success a lot.
I like the fact that he's taken time with these guys. That I
he's been a position coach and a coordinator. He's a teacher. Our head coach, for the most part, is a delegator. He handles the media. He's more like the CEO as opposed to a manager.
I don't think Vic Fangio likes dealing with the media. He's just like, he's very polite. He'll give you good answers, give you a little
It's the worst
sound
part.
Clip.
By far, it's going to be the worst part of his job. Because he's letting the offense do their thing. He's still focused on defense. So he's sort of the defensive coordinator anyways. He hasn't changed his job description all that much. It's just that every day he has to talk to the media. And for them, he probably had to talk with the Bears probably once during training camp.
And once a week during
the
season. Right.
And now it's every day.
They're a bunch of puppy dogs, though. It's Denver media. You know that. You think there's any hard-hitting exposés going on? Like,
that's
no.
The Kizzles rolling around out there. Just look out.
Watch out for the Kizz.
Yeah.
Watch out for that guy.
There's a lot less of Kizzles, though. There used to be many more.
Why is that?
Well, Woody was writing for the Post.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think the papers have gone the way of, I don't know, technology, and it's just not that big a deal anymore.
I think everyone plays the access game.
Right.
Honestly.
Right.
Like, you're going to be a thorn in their side, you might not get the access that you want.
Right.
So, okay.
Mangini. That's who it was.
Yes. Anyway.
Call him Sweetie.
Sweetie?
Sweetie
Brian. All right. That's a wrap for today's program. Tommy, it's been a joy, man.
Yeah. Maybe you'll be here tomorrow. Who knows?
Do you really think D-Mac's going to miss tomorrow?
He's probably screaming his head off right now at Coors Field at a bunch of teenagers.
Not doing his voice any good, by the way.
Yeah.
All right.
He might roby me tomorrow.
Well, I'll be ready just in case. I'll be out at Dove Valley. Check out all my work at 1043thefan.com. Check out Tommy Nalen every day right here on The Drive with the great Darren McKee. Thanks to Richie for running the show. I'm Cecil Lammy saying, look out, stay tuned, and stay frosty.